Dear family, I have been living a life of sin and let the devil take control of my life instead of letting God rule over my life. Now I have to live with the consequences of my sin. I am expecting. I ask God to forgive me, and I'm asking you, my family, for forgiveness. I want to live for Jesus and get to heaven. Please keep me in your prayers. Love, your sister. This was a letter that was given to me a couple of months ago on a Wednesday night after Bible classes had been dismissed and during the invitation song at services, when one of our young ladies came before the congregation and acknowledged this sin. She's now pregnant. And that was a devastating night for us, and obviously for her, a humiliating night for her. And during that night, and ever since, for the last couple of months, I've been thinking about how she found herself in that situation. Now look at her life. Her parents are both Christians, and she's grown up in a home that's been fairly stable. Her siblings are Christians. Her family outside of her immediate family, they're all Christians. She attends worship services on a regular basis. So how does she find herself in this predicament? There could be a lot of different answers that could be given. But one that stands out to me is that this young sister in Christ failed to truly hate sin. As we talk about sin, I think the word hate is a good word. Hate's a strong word, but it's a good word. You guys help me out here tonight. How would you guys define the word hate? How do you guys define that word hate? What do you think that word means? Help me out. Something that you can't stand to be around? That's the idea. Something you want to avoid. There's nothing good. There's nothing valuable with it at all. And that's the idea with respect to sin. God tells us and wants us to know that we are to hate sin. The Bible is clear on this point. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 13, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. It was Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 29 who said, "If your right eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off." We are to be drastic and take drastic measures when it comes to dealing with sin. Paul in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5 reminded the saints that they were to put to death the fleshly lusts in their body. Ladies and gentlemen, we are to be serious when it comes to this matter of sin, because sin is a really big deal. We're to be drastic with it. We are to cut it out of our lives, dig it out of our lives, and have nothing to do with it at all. Yet that's the challenge, isn't it? That's the challenge, because what does our society say about sin? Our society says, you know what, sin's not really a big deal. In fact, sin is often promoted, it's taught, and it's encouraged, and it's not really a big deal anymore. Let me give you guys a couple of examples. I got a couple of photos here of some people who have been in the news lately, and I want you to see if you know who these individuals are as we talk about this idea of sin. You know who that young man is? Who knows who that young man is? What's his name? Michael Sam. Michael Sam was a defensive back over at the University of Missouri. He just graduated, and a couple of weeks ago, Michael Sam's made it known to everyone that he is a homosexual. And since he's made that announcement, everyone has really been giving him praise because of the lifestyle that he is living in at this point in time. In fact, our president and first lady commended him because of what he said a couple of weeks ago. Guys, this idea of sin and the lifestyles that people are living in our society, people are saying, you know what, it's not really a big deal. And people are being commended and praised because of the actions, the sinful choices that they are taking. What about this young lady here? Now, you're going to have to look carefully because she doesn't really look like that anymore. Who is that? Who is it? Give me her name. Miley Cyrus, that's right. Yes, indeed, she is a wrecking ball and she cannot be tamed. She has changed, okay? And what people say about her in our society, the things that she's doing, and look, I pray you do not see her antics. I can't remember if it was the MTV Awards or the VMAs, I don't know what award ceremony it was, but the things that she was doing, I pray that none of us saw that and witnessed that, because you don't want to have that ingrained into your mind. But our society is saying, you know what? The things that she does, it's not really a big deal, because that's what everybody's doing, right? That's the challenge that we're up against as we talk about this idea of sin. And brethren, we are to hate sin, But our society makes it so that sin really just appears not to be a big deal at all. But that is not what the Bible has to say at all. The Bible is very clear that as a people of God, we are to hate sin. And there is good reason for us to hate sin, not only just to hate sin, but we are to hate sin with all of our heart. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're talking about, for the next couple of days, matters of the heart. And sin is a serious matter that we need to make sure that we deal with and that we overcome in our lives, because there are some serious ramifications with respect to sin. And tonight we're going to look at a couple from the Word of God who had to learn the hard way with respect to sin. They lived and learned by not listening to God and what God says about sin. We don't have to go down that path. We can learn and live from them. And the couple that I'm referring to, the man and woman that I'm talking about, is Adam and Eve. If you have your Bible, open it up tonight. We're going to be studying primarily from Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to begin our study there in chapter 2 and in chapter 3 here in just a moment. And our goal tonight is to learn some lessons from Adam and Eve so that we can guard our hearts from sin, so that we can avoid it and avoid all the baggage that comes with respect to sin. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 2 here in just a moment. First, let me hit the pause button and let me say welcome. It's great to be here tonight. I'm excited about being here. First time in College Station, and it's so great to see so many young people who are serious about serving God and dealing with issues pertaining to matters of the heart. I see some familiar faces here that I know from back home and from meeting in other places. May God bless each and every one of you. We look forward to hanging out with you guys, spending some time with you, and getting to know you more after we are done this evening. Well, I don't like to assume anything. So let's just talk about Adam and Eve just for a moment before we make some points of application. Most of us, if not all of us, are probably familiar with the story. God created Adam and Eve, and in Genesis chapter 2, He put them in the garden. Adam and Eve had any and everything. They had perfection. They were in the garden. Everything was perfect. And God told them that anything in the garden was yours, except they were not to touch one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Look at your Bible in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die.'" So God was very clear with respect of what they needed to do and the commandments that they needed to keep. Now in Genesis chapter 3, let's just read for a couple of minutes in verse number 1 so that we have a good understanding of the context. Look at verse number 1 with me. The Bible says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it or you will die.' The serpent said to the woman, 'You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings." Look at verse number 8. "They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' He said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.'" Adam and Eve, their life would never be the same. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they teach us something with respect to sin. Now, I'm going to ask you guys some questions along the way, and I want you guys to help me out tonight. Why was it such a big deal that they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Why was that such a big deal, guys? What do you think? Because God said not to. That's right. Because God gave them a specific commandment and they disobeyed that commandment. And yet when we look at that, and that's the right answer, we look at that, there's something else that we may not often consider. They disobeyed God by not keeping His commandments, and at the same time, they failed to accomplish something. Adam and Eve, when you look back at the story, they were focused about themselves. They wanted to consider what they might gain from this tree, and they forgot about something very important with respect to God. They ultimately forgot about their purpose in life. And yes, they ate from the tree, but there was something else that they did as a result from eating from the tree and disobeying God. If I were to ask you guys this question, I want to see how you guys answer this question, because a lot of people have this question, and it relates to Adam and Eve. What is your purpose in life? What is your purpose in life? There's some verses that we may go to in the scriptures that may tell us about our purpose in life. If somebody were to ask you, what's your purpose in life? What would you say? What do you think? What'd you say? Fear God and keep His commandments. That's right. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 13. Let's take it one step further, though. Why do we need to fear God and keep His commandments? Why? It's because our purpose is ultimately to give glory to God. Guys, that's our purpose in life. And the problem with Adam and Eve is that when they ate from that tree, they dishonored God. And they failed to truly accomplish their purpose in life. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 is absolutely correct. And at the same time, there's something else attached to that that we need to hold on to. Guys, our purpose in life ultimately is to give honor and praise and glory to God. If you can get that and understand that, then it's a game changer for all the decisions that you make. Look over in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11, we're reminded some things here about God. In Revelation 4 and verse number 11. Listen to what the Bible has to say here in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11. Talking about God, the Bible says, "Worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and because of Your will they existed and were created." We're reminded here that God, He's worthy of glory, honor, and power. That's what He deserves. He's worthy of our glory and honor given to Him. The spotlight should be on Him. We know a familiar passage like Romans 3 and verse 23, where the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is ultimately the big deal as to why Adam and Eve ate from that tree. Because when they ate from that tree, they failed to really accomplish their purpose in life. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, a verse that I would like for you to hold onto, a verse that if you can hold onto, your life will never be the same. You can avoid a lot of mistakes that a lot of young people make sometimes in school, and what a lot of people in general, people of God sometimes make. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 31, the Bible reminds us here, it says, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." That's your purpose. That's why we keep the commandments of God. That's why we don't sin, and that's why we avoid doing things that are contrary to God's will. And this should change your entire perspective in life. It means that your life is much more than just what you're going to do on the weekends. It's much more than that, the classes that you may be taking, or the next football game, or graduating, or buying a house and getting married and having 2.5 kids and traveling across the world. Your life has far greater purpose than just accomplishing and gaining physical things. Ultimately, your life is about giving glory to God. And if you can hold on to that, it will change everything. It will help you to stop when you see yourself or find yourself going down that path where you're getting ready to sin against the will of God. Some of us may be tempted with respect to sexual immorality. If you remember what your purpose is, you're not going to use your body in such a way that is going to bring about dishonor to God. Knowing that your purpose is to glorify God is going to change when you go to buy clothes in the clothing stores, okay? You're not going to buy clothes that are going to be tight, clothes that may be short. You're going to buy clothes that will help you to shine your light and ultimately give glory to God. Understanding your purpose and avoiding dishonoring God is going to help you in the classroom if you're tempted to potentially cheat on a test. It's going to help you to have that integrity. Adam and Eve, they failed to really understand
their purpose. They failed to give glory and honor to God. And as a result, they had to live and learn. Your life is all about giving God glory. Look over in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, real quick, and then we'll move forward. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse number 16, a passage that we often think about and maybe reference quite a bit. Matthew 5 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." You see, we are to live a certain way so other people will be able to see who it is that we serve. And ultimately, it's still about God and putting the spotlight on Him and giving Him glory, honor, and praise. Adam and Eve, they learned the hard way. We can learn and live from their mistakes and avoid going down the same path. They dishonored God with the choices that they made. But let's go back to Genesis chapter 3, because there's something else that we see that happened with Adam and Eve. Their choices, their sinful choices, hurt those that they loved. It hurt those that they were close to. When you look back at the story in Genesis chapter 3, while both Adam and both Eve made that personal decision to eat from that tree, their personal choices still had an impact on somebody else. In verse number 13, listen to what God said. He said, "The Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.' The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field.'" Look at verse number 16. "To the woman, he said, 'I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children. Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.'" In verse number 17, God said to Adam, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it,' cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life." I often think about how Adam and Eve communicated with one another after they ate from that tree, because their lives would never be the same. How upset was Adam that his life was now changed forever? How upset was Eve with Adam because her life was now changed forever? While they made these personal choices, their choices hurt those close to them. Who else felt the pain of their choices? It wasn't just Adam and Eve, but who else would feel the pain of their choices? Who do you think? I can't hear it. Everyone, yeah, eventually everyone. Think about Cain, and think about Abel, and think about Seth. But it goes way beyond that. There's a ripple effect because of the choices that they made, and not only hurt those who they were really close to, but essentially it has hurt everyone. And that's the problem with sin. That's why we need to hate sin. Because sin will always take us further than we want to go, and will bring about much more baggage than we might ever imagine. The letter that I shared with you guys, you remember the letter a few minutes ago? The young lady who came and made it known to the congregation that she was pregnant. Who do you think was hurt when they found out that she was pregnant? The choices that she made, who did that have an impact on in her life? I can think of at least two or three. Give me some. Her parents. What did her parents say? How must have they have felt when they found out that their daughter was pregnant? Who else? Parents? Who else? Herself, yeah. She felt terrible. She felt humiliated. She was embarrassed. Who else did she hurt, though? Not only herself, her parents, but who else? God, yeah. She hurt God. She dishonored God with the choice that she made. And that's a view that we don't always think about with respect to sin. How is God going to view the sin? Or how is this going to look in the eyes of God? We don't often think about that, and we need to think about that. But that young lady, not only did she hurt her parents, she hurt herself, but she also hurt the congregation. You see, there's a ripple effect with the choices that you make with respect to sin. We often think about, okay, if I do this, no one else is really going to be impacted. No one else is really going to have any problems to worry about. But how do we know? That's the danger, and that's the problem with sin. Sin will take us too far or further than we want to go. There are so many examples in the Scriptures with respect of individuals who committed a sin
and their sin just had a ripple effect. I can think of a couple. I think about King David. We always typically think about one thing that King David did. When you hear King David, we typically think about who and what? Bathsheba, right. He was looking at Bathsheba. He committed sexual immorality. But there's another interesting story about King David. We don't have time to look at it now, but read 2 Samuel chapter 24. When King David numbered the people in the days of Israel, he had some type of heart problem. And you know how many people were affected because of his sin? 70,000 people that he loved. That's the problem with sin. Sin will often take us far or further than we ever would have imagined. And it will hurt more people than we ever could have thought of. And the problem that we have sometimes with respect to sin is that we don't always think about the long-term consequences. We don't always think about what's going to happen tomorrow and next week. And what's going to happen if I decide to make this choice and to go down this path. The lesson we need to learn from Adam and Eve, guys, is that there's a lot of ramifications. Sin is a big deal. And it's nothing to flirt with. It's nothing to mess around with because it's going to get us into a lot of trouble. There's some questions we can ask ourselves that may be able to help us with respect of sin and guarding our hearts as we strive to hate sin. The next time you may be tempted on a path that you know God does not want you to go on, ask yourself this question. If I do this, how will my parents feel? And if I do this, what might happen with respect to my reputation and how others are going to be impacted by this? Think about sin from the eyes or from the perspective of someone else. And when you do, you'll stay far, far away. Because sin is a big deal. And Adam and Eve, they learned the hard way. This is why we have stories like Adam and Eve, so we can learn and live, and so we can avoid a lot of choices. We learn that Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they dishonored God, they hurt those that they loved, and there's something else that happened as a result of their sin. The last thing I want you to see tonight is this, that because of their sinful choices and because of our choices with respect to sin, when we go down the path of sin, it's going to hold back blessings from God. What did Adam and Eve lose? We all know the answer, right? What did they lose? They got kicked out of the garden. Yeah, they got kicked out of the garden. I don't think we need to say anything else about that, right? They had everything, and they would lose everything because of sin. Look back in Genesis chapter 3 with me. In Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 20, "Now the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken." Adam and Eve received that terrible eviction notice from God and were kicked out of the garden forever. And the lesson for us there, guys, is easy. When we decide to go down the path of sin, when we ignore what God has to say, there's going to be blessings we're going to miss out on. When the scriptures tell us, "Do not be deceived, you will reap what you sow," we need to believe that because that actually will happen in our lives. This is why we are to hate sin, because sin will cause us to miss out on temporary blessings now, and if not careful, will cause us to miss out on the blessing of heaven. Look back in Matthew chapter 5. I mentioned Jesus at the beginning in Matthew chapter 5, but I didn't mention everything in the verse, and I want to make sure that we all understand what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, as Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount was talking about committing sin in the heart, lusting after someone else, he talked about and made it clear how serious sin really is and how drastic we need to deal with sin. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27, he said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You should not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body
than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off. Throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for the whole body to go into hell. That's how serious sin really is. If we're not careful, we can miss out on eternal life and find ourselves one day in hell. And the lesson for us here is very simple. And yet, while it's very simple, it's something sometimes a lot of people avoid and ignore. That indeed, we are to hate sin with all of our heart. And we are to avoid it and guard ourselves against it. Because if we don't, we're going to find ourselves in a lot of trouble with God. Adam and Eve learned the hard way. And the question for you, how are you going to learn? You're going to learn the hard way? Or are you going to learn and live from Adam and Eve and from all the other examples that we find in the Word of God? I want to conclude by going back to Genesis chapter 3. And I don't know if you noticed this, but I want to look at real quick the questions that God asked Adam and Eve. There were three or four questions that He asked them, and I think it's interesting when God begins to question people. A lot of times people have questions for God. God, where are you and what are you doing, Lord? But when God has questions for us, then we need to take notice. And God had some questions for Adam and Eve. It wasn't that He didn't already know the answers, but He wanted Adam and Eve to understand some things about the choices they made and where they needed to go and what they needed to understand. Look back with me in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 8. And there's some ramifications with the stories that with the questions that He asked Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him," here's a question, first question here, "Where are you?" Where are you? You think God wanted to know a geographical location because He lost them in the garden? He put them in the garden. It's interesting that the fact that He had to ask that question demonstrated that something had changed in their relationship. Because up until that time, Adam and Eve, they didn't have a problem. They weren't trying to hide from God. But now they sin and they're on the run as if they can hide. And God said, "Where are you?" It's kind of like a parent. A parent does this. And our 2-year-old Joshua, he's testing us. And that's what 2-year-olds do. And you may not think they know a lot, but they know quite a bit. And, you know, they do something and they look back at you and they want to know if you're going to say something to them. But parents do this often. They ask their children, "Did you eat that last cookie?" Now, they already know you ate the cookie. Or, "What time did you get home last night?" They probably already know that. They want to know what? If you're going to come clean. Whether or not you ate that last cookie and whether or not you came in late. But they ask those questions to get the person to start thinking about some things. Maybe to acknowledge some things and to take responsibility. And it's interesting that God asked the question, "Where are you?" Adam and Eve were on the run. And there's something for us here, guys, with this question here. Where are you? We're talking about matters of the heart. So let me ask you this question tonight. I don't want anybody to say anything, though, okay? This is for you personally. Where are you? Where are you with respect to your walk with God? Do you feel close to God? Or are you on the run from God like Adam and Eve? Are you standing firm on your faith and not trying to hide sin from God? Are you striving to do His will, or are you on the run like Jonah was from doing the will of God? Where are you with your walk with the Lord tonight? That's a question you need an answer to, and a genuine answer. More than just, "I'm fine" or "I'm okay." Okay? Translation, that means there's something probably going on. Where are you? We're talking about matters of the heart. This is a serious deal here. If we're going to defeat sin and be victorious and make it to heaven, we need to make sure that we're keeping it real with God. And that's the question we need to hold on to. Where are you? Adam and Eve, they failed with respect to that first question. Look at verse 10. He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And He said, "Who told you that you were naked?" Oh boy. "Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" Adam said, "Look, God, I made a mistake. I take all responsibility. It was my fault." That's what Adam said, right? No, he said, "You see that woman? She did it.
She made me do it, God. You're the one that gave her to me. Who told you? Who you been listening to? Adam failed again. He didn't admit his mistake. He wasn't honest with God. He played the blame game. But there's something here for us there. With respect to the question that God asked, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Number one, Adam listened to the wrong person, didn't he? He listened to his wife. And for those of us who are married, I'm not saying that husbands never listen to our wives, okay? Listen to your wife so you can have a happy home. But in this particular case, with respect to sin, should Adam have listened to his wife? No. Because he was going against the will of God. And ultimately, God asked this question, who told you? Because Eve had listened to the serpent, listened to the devil. The problem for Adam and Eve was that they were listening to the wrong source, the wrong authority. And there's something there for that, for us this evening with respect to sin and how we view sin and maybe the choices that you are making in your life. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Are you listening to what you see on television or in the movies or your friends or your roommate? Who are you listening to? Who told you that it's not a big deal if you engage in sexual immorality? Who told you that it's not a big deal if you have a couple of drinks on Fridays and Saturdays? Who told you that it's okay if you lose some of your integrity by cheating on an exam so that you can hit that grade that you really need? Who told you that it's okay to do those types of things? God never tells us to commit those types of things. In fact, He tells us to abstain from sexual immorality, to be honest, to abstain from drinking, to leave it alone. But the question for us is, who are you listening to? Who you listen to is going to determine how you view sin and how much you truly hate sin. Hate is a strong word, and that's exactly the type of mentality we need to have with respect to sin. God asked Adam and Eve, where are you? Who told you that you were naked? Adam and Eve realized that they were naked. Their relationship had changed. They could stand before God, but now they were hiding, they were embarrassed, and it was all because of sin. God didn't stop there. He asked them one last question, and this will be the last question for us tonight. In verse number 13, then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? Okay, how is Eve going to respond? Adam, he played the blame game. Eve was going to do much better than that, right? Nope, she failed too. She said, the animals you made, God, the serpent, it's his fault. What have you done? God wanted them to acknowledge their sin. He wanted them to accept it and to own up to it. They were getting ready to get kicked out of the garden, but they needed to understand some things about going forward that they couldn't just dismiss their choices and their sin. And that's the question for us tonight. What have you done? I guess we can say, what have you done with your sin? We've already seen that in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are going to make mistakes. But when we make mistakes, what are you doing with your mistakes? Are you owning them? Are you confessing them to God? Or are you trying to hide them from God? Are you blaming someone else, your friends, your brother, your sister, your family, whoever it may be? What have you done? And more importantly, what are you doing with your sins? God wants us to confess our sins to Him. He promises when we do that He's willing to forgive us and is willing to be there for us. Brethren, young people, I want you to understand one thing. With respect to sin, we see the consequences that come with sin. This is why we need to hate sin. And there's two words that we need to consider when we talk about sin. Never again. That's the attitude that we must have with respect to sin. Never again. And when we have that disposition, then that will change how we view sin entirely. Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden. And when we do sermons and lessons from Adam and Eve or from the beginning in Genesis, often they're kind of, I don't want to say negative, but they're kind of downers, you know, because they get kicked out of the garden, they lost everything. But there's something I want you to hold on to in conclusion tonight. Look back with me in the text in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 21, the Bible says in Genesis 3 and verse 21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. There's something for us to hold on to here. Yes, they sinned. Yes, they fell short of God. Yes, they made mistakes. But you know what? God still loved them. And He was still with them. And they would have Cain and Abel and Seth and Adam in Genesis chapter 5 would live to be 930 years old. I don't know how old he was when he ate from the fruit, but I imagine he probably lived a long time after that situation. My point here is that, look, even when we do mess up, we serve a good God, don't we? Would you guys agree with that? That we serve a good God, a God who is merciful and a God who is gracious and is willing to forgive us of our sins. And we know that He's good because He sent His Son Jesus to die for us. And while we might make mistakes, we need to strive to hate sin as much as possible, to guard our hearts from it. And we need to remember that even when we fall short, we can still continue with our Father in heaven. I don't want to leave you with that word of encouragement. Maybe you're struggling right now with respect to sin. You don't give up because God was still with Adam and Eve. And good things can still come if we will remain with the Lord. God bless you.